Hello to all you amazing Mets fans. You're listening to Locked On Mets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thank you for making Locked On Mets your first listen every day. Locked On Mets is free and available on all platforms, including YouTube. Well, I had to jump on and record a bonus edition of Locked On Mets because what I just saw from Jacob deGrom, simply remarkable, and an incredible team win around him as the Mets beat the Phillies 1-0. Aaron Nola was great on the other side, but this Mets team did just enough to even the series. On the show today in the first segment, we're going to talk about the brilliance of Jacob deGrom, obviously. Then in the second segment, I'll go through some other notes of this series. It's been a couple of injuries. You got the first game the Mets just let slip through their fingers, and I'll preview this final game, a rubber match, Zach Wheeler versus Chris Bassitt. Before we get to any of that, though, I'm your host, Ryan Finkelstein. You want to find any of my work? Follow me on Twitter, at FinkelsteinRyan. You can also find some of my writing at JustBaseball.com, where I work as the managing editor. Now, Saturdays are one of my nights off. I'm not really supposed to come on and do podcasts. We do the show Monday through Friday for Morning Drive, and I'm watching the game tonight, and I could not hop on and talk about it because Jacob deGrom has perfected pitching. It's just that simple. It's cut and dry. We saw it all last year. We're seeing it now in his first couple starts back. This guy is untouchable. I mean, the fact that he can go 101 whenever he wants to, and he has that slider that he just has perfected, it's an unhittable pitch. His fastball is so electric. Guys are gearing up for it, just trying to hit it. You saw Rhys Hoskins and maybe Bryson Stott were the only hitters that even had competitive at-bats against DeGrom tonight. It was just utter brilliance. And the crazy thing is, Aaron Nola pitched the best game tonight. He goes 8 innings, 4 hits allowed against the Mets. The guy was fantastic in this series, and I'm going to talk a little bit about yesterday's game in the next segment, as well as the final game, the rubber match, and kind of some of the injuries, all the other storylines outside of DeGrom. But to go through this pitching matchup comparison, you got Nola, gives up 4 hits, 1 run, walks 1, strikes out 8. The only run he allows is in the first inning where you get Starling Marte on with the base hit, one of the 4 hits he allows. He ends up over to third base when he's still second. There's a throwing error that allows him to advance. And then Pete Alonso does what he has all year long with 2 outs, particularly in those spots with runners in scoring position. Shortens up, gets a base knock, drives in the runner. That's it, though. That was the Mets offense for the entire game. Obviously, they got 2 more hits in the night, but I don't believe they drew a walk. They drew 1 walk in that last inning. It's insane how well Nola pitched, and it just gets completely overshadowed because you have the greatest of all time on the hill. And you could talk about other great pitchers. You could talk about Bob Gibson, Tom Seaver, so many names, Roger Clemens, Pedro, whatever it is. There's a certain bar that can be reached in pitching that you don't think can get exceeded. And they brought out a stat in the game today. Gerrit Cohen mentioned that in his last 17 starts, Jacob deGrom has a 0.55 whip. And that is the best whip in MLB history across a 17-start span. I think he said Clayton Kershaw was next on that list with a 0.64 whip. What that tells you is when it comes to simply mano-a-mano, a batter is trying to get a walk or a hit over a 17-start sample size beginning 2021, this is the best anyone's ever pitched in baseball. That's how good he's been. And this is a segment I like to call reading the tweets I like throughout the night, looking at Jacob deGrom's start. I'm just reading all of them. So this was a reply to a tweet I had out. Dylan Short, huge Braves fan. It was nice to see him take a couple miles off the slider this time out. Yeah, deGrom was maybe even nastier against the Braves. With a 95-mile-per-hour slider instead of 93. It was the average slider velocity tonight. It was 92.6. Ridiculous. Here's another one. Jacob deGrom has now allowed 2 earned runs or fewer in each of his last 22 starts at home, the longest streak in MLB history. Another one. Jacob deGrom becomes just the second pitcher since 1901 to have 25 strikeouts, allow 6 hits or fewer, and allow 1 walk or less in his first 3 starts of a season. The other pitcher was Corbin Burns last year, who won the Cy Young. Another one, this one, Matthew Brownstein, that last one, courtesy of Greg Harvey, I should note from Twitter here. Matthew Brownstein says this is the 12th time Jacob deGrom's career that he struck out 10-plus batters while not allowing a walk. That ties Mad Bum, Zach Greinke, Mike Mussina for the 11th most starts in MLB history. Randy Johnson has the most with 36. Lowest ERA by active pitchers in their last 96 starts. A little bit cherry-picked by Codified Baseball, but a 1.96 ERA for DeGrom. Next best is Verlander at 2.29. Next best is Scherzer at 2.69. You had the most double-digit strikeout games in Mets history. DeGrom at 55, 5 behind Tom Seaver, 9 ahead of Doc Gooden. A breakdown of Jacob DeGrom's career. That stat was courtesy of Mike Mayer, as is this one. 201 career starts, 147 not allowing more than two earned runs, 107 not allowing more than one earned run. The guy is the best to ever do it. And another one from Mike Mayer, lowest ERA in Major League Baseball history in home games. DeGrom at 2.09 is the fifth best mark ever, actually tied for the fourth best with Eddie Plank. You have Joe Benz, Walter Johnson, and Jim Scott, the only ones better than him, all separated between 0.05%. That's just a bunch of stats. What we saw, though, is what we've seen the last couple times, that we've seen since the beginning of the 2021 season. This guy is as good as you can possibly get. He's averaging 99.2 miles per hour on his fastball tonight. You know, whiff percentage at 42% on that. Whiff percentage on the slider at 41%. The guy's unhittable. He goes out, you know, like I said, six innings, gets the double-digit strikeouts, two hits allowed. There's not much else we really need to say when talking about him. You're almost at a loss for words, and I feel like what I'm coming up with right now isn't doing what we just witnessed justice, yet I feel like I have to say something because I don't want to watch another game and let what we just watched get kind of brushed over with whatever happens in a rubber match, because every time this guy starts, it's an event. It's history unfolding in front of you. It's seeing someone who has perfected a craft in a way that is just so rare. How often do we get to see someone in the moment doing something better than we've ever seen before, whether it's, you know, you're watching the greats like LeBron James in the NBA or Tom Brady in football or when Tiger Woods was at his prime in golf, whatever it is. There's those rare moments in time when you see an athlete that reaches the peak powers and kind of pushes the boundaries beyond what you think is possible. And that's what this guy does when he's healthy right now. And obviously, that's the big concern. That's the big question mark. That's the big thing looming around this aura of his greatness right now is, can he throw 101 consistently with a 94-mile-per-hour slider and stay on the mound for the next four seasons and be healthy? It's a massive question. And it's one that is going to be a tough one for Steve Cohen to answer with his pocketbook this offseason. But what I just saw is something that I never want to see in another uniform. I'll tell you that much, because Jacob DeGrom is more than special. He's a unicorn. He's one of a kind. As incredible as Max Scherzer has been this year, what we see from this guy when he takes the hill, it's just the best pitching I've ever seen in my life. It's that simple. And I just had the best Saturday night ever sitting back on the couch watching this guy work his magic, and it forced me to come on here and talk about it. So we got to finish out the show today strong to talk about everything else we've seen. I want to talk about some other takeaways from this game outside of DeGrom. We'll touch on yesterday's game a bit and then look ahead to the final game of the series, a big rubber match, see who takes this. But that win tonight was big for the Mets because they did avoid the worst case scenario. We'll see if the bats can wake up tomorrow, but you're facing Zach Wheeler. Not an easy task. Before we talk about that, though, betonline.net is your number one source for all of your betting needs and sports info. Find all the latest sports developments, league reviews, and news as BetOnline is your continued source for all of your sports wagering information, including live betting, esports, and scores. BetOnline.net is the fastest and easiest way to check in on all of your favorite sports and events, including MMA, boxing, and golf. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends in the action. Bet online, where the game starts. All right, so touching on some of the notes from this series, because it's been an eventful one, let's go through the first game, and then we'll touch a little bit more on what we just saw tonight. Mets lose 2-1. You saw Max Scherzer go out. Great effort, scatters nine hits, only gives up one run. The bullpen was solid, really. I mean, it just come down to no hitting by the Mets. You know, you have Ottavino with a scoreless inning. Edwin Diaz was much better on Friday night than he was on Saturday night, but he gets the job done both nights. And then Michael Givens gets the loss, but the only run he allowed was the ghost runner coming in to score, a play that maybe the Mets could have made. Tomas Nito took his eye off it a little bit, I think, on a play at the plate. Inning prior, Starling Marte gets sent from third base, or he goes himself on a really shallow fly ball, gets gunned down at the plate. Those were the two plays that swung the game, but just been great pitching across the board. Ranger Suarez was amazing for the Phillies on Friday night, only gave up three hits. This has been a really well-pitched series. So as much as you want to freak out a little bit as a Mets fan about the bats going quiet, I would look at the representative sample of what they did prior to this series, and I wouldn't get too concerned about facing some really good starters who have just been dealing and, you know, ending up with some bad offensive performances as a team. Not to mention, in the first game, you lose two starters as Eduardo Escobar exits with a side injury, and McNeil ends up getting a couple of stitches on his thumb. He was obviously back in the lineup starting on Saturday night, so no concern there. And Escobar seems to have avoided an IL stint for now. So luckily, the Mets seem to be okay health-wise. These guys are going to have to play through it a little bit. But the other big development when it comes to a return from injury that we saw on Saturday is Trevor May. I mean, Seth Lugo was able to get through his inning of work. Trevor May was the most dominant pitcher on the Mets tonight, not named Jacob deGrom. He was better than Edwin Diaz was. Diaz didn't really have control of his slider, had to work his way through it. Incredible to see him come through and get the big strikeout on Nick Castellanos to close out the game with two runners in scoring position. So Diaz gets his 27th save, and I'll tell you, I was as fired up as I've been at the end of a Mets game when he doesn't have his best stuff and he gets that strikeout in that spot to close out a win. You might have got, I just mentioned Tiger Woods on the show earlier, you might have got a Tiger Woods fist pump in my living room on that one. But Trevor May, that's a huge revelation for this team. Last time out, gets three strikeouts, so it's good to see him have the out pitch, but walked a couple, gave up a hit, a little bit dicey. Tonight, a perfect thing of work, two strikeouts, was locating 97 up, seems to have looked at least a little bit like what we saw from last year. If Trevor May can slot in behind Adam Ottavino in this bullpen, you can have Diaz, Ottavino, May. You feel a lot better about this team's prospects going forward. Now, to close out here, the final game of this series was what we're going to talk about on tomorrow's show, of course. Zach Wheeler versus Chris Bassitt. So this is a huge matchup. I think the Mets did a good job winning tonight because even if they lose this series, at least they don't get swept. They don't have to worry about the Phillies getting that much of a confidence boost. Obviously, going head-to-head with the Mets is going to give this team a lot of confidence, but you're just happy you got one when Zach Wheeler's pitching, because that's the reality here. It's not a matter of the Phillies being that much better than the Mets. It's the fact that Zach Wheeler has a 2.63 ERA this season across 21 starts, is one of the most dominant starting pitchers in baseball over the last couple of seasons. It's hard to go into a game and beat him, and you know he's going to be motivated against his former team in a big game. This year, Wheeler's gone against the Mets. His first time out of the season was against New York, 4 2/3, one run allowed on a homer, only had three strikeouts in that game. Faced them again at the end of May, went six innings, allowed one earned run, three runs, had seven strikeouts to three walks. So the Mets have made him work a little bit in his outings. We'll see if they can do that again. You know, this is a team that will see a lot of pitches, and you have guys like Louis Guillorme, and you know, if Mark Canha gets in the game after a day off tonight, and obviously Jeff McNeil, Francisco Lindor, Starling Marte, guys who can hopefully drag out of bats and maybe get into that Phillies bullpen more than they did tonight, obviously, as Nola ends up pitching all eight of the pitchable innings for the Phillies. So the Mets close that thing out in the ninth. So, yeah, that bullpen's rested, and Wheeler is really solid. You got Chris Bassitt going against him. His one start against the Phillies this year, he went 5 2/3 on May 8th, had four strikeouts, one walk, allowed five hits, and one earned run. Really good matchup here. So we'll see what the Mets do. I don't think it's a must-win by any stretch, this division. It has still been in hand, but the Braves continue to win, and they're beating up on the Marlins right now, and you're about to play the Braves. So if you can find a way to pull this series out, obviously that's the best-case scenario to go into a really pivotal series in Atlanta and try to get the better of this Braves team before heading back to Philly to close out next week. It's a really important week for this division. The Mets can really put their stamp on it if they win the next three series here. Let's see what they do in this one. But we'll be talking about that, of course, throughout the week on Locked On Mets. This was just a bonus edition to discuss Jacob deGrom's brilliance because, like I said, I couldn't sit on it for 24 hours. What I just watched forced me to hit record tonight. And, man, I just hope I get to see the rest of the season full of healthy Jacob deGrom starts. And if he's healthy come October, I mean, you saw, what was it, 43,000 in the ballpark in this one. I think that was the announced attendance. Just imagine what that's going to be with standing room only packed at Citi Field in the playoffs. And Jacob DeGrom on the hill against maybe the Dodgers or something like that in the NLCS. You can just kind of start dreaming about what that could look like down the line. This is the most exciting show on earth when that guy pitches. And again, just to see him healthy, it's worthy of all of the extra coverage in the world because that is how electric he is. Anyway, that's going to be all for this edition of Locked On Mets. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you file, rate, and review wherever you get your podcast. Make sure you follow me on Twitter at FinkelsteinRyan. Follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Mets.